blame it on the boogie. And I know you were thinking, oh, yes, I'm going to get up and have a little dance to that. And as you got up, you started shaking your booty. And then, no, I think I'll have a sit down. And that's a bad way to be, really. You should be able to get up and have a little dance with the Jacksons, especially if you've got some wedding or a birthday party to go to. You want to be ready for a little dance, a little jig. So what is it that hurts when you try and dance? Your knees. Yeah. I think as time goes by, the knee does take a bit of a hammering one way or another, and it can, when it decides it's going to play up, be an absolute, well, pain. But here to help relieve your pain is the chiropractor from Beeston, Alex Newton. Hello, lovely to see you.
Good afternoon, Alan.
The knee, then. The knee is our subject of special investigation today. You only have to do a quick internet search about the knee and get a cross-section of it. It's a blooming complicated thing, isn't it? You think it's just like a hinge.
It's a very complicated joint, and it's a very important joint when it comes to posture, because it affects us walking, bending, lifting, anything we do, getting up from sitting, getting in and out the car, getting in and out of bed, up and down the stairs. Those knees are quite a fundamental part of our daily activity and daily routine.
What goes wrong, then, with the knee? Why do people get so much pain? Does it wear out? Do things slip? What happens?
Well, I think it can stem back to things that we've perhaps used to do in younger day or earlier days. Perhaps if we were playing netball or football or various contact sports over years ago. And what we tend to see as chiropractors is that a lot of people have had problems in the past and the problem's starting to catch up with them, if you like. I always sort of joke, a bit of misspent youth. But unfortunately, quite intense sports can lead to two types of knee problems, really. Either you've got the repetitive strain injury, where the knee has been used repeatedly over a period of time, perhaps not getting enough rest and rehabilitation in between perhaps matches or training sessions, which sometimes we tend to push ourselves quite hard, particularly around tournament time and during various sporting seasons. And then obviously there's the different type of knee injury caused by types of impact when you've run into someone or someone's run into you. But the thing is with the knee, it's the middle of the knee, it's the middle of a fulcrum, because anything that you do with the foot or the hip, if you imagine a tea towel and you wring that tea towel, your hip being one end of the tea towel and the ankle being the other end of the tea towel, and you give it a bit of a twist, the bit in the middle is going to be the knee, and it's the twisting injuries that cause the problems with these complex knees.
Just the phrase twisting your knee makes my knee hurt. I don't know why, there's the twisting of the knee. Does that actually literally come from standing and twisting too quickly? Can that actually bring on
the most
problem?
Common injury on the knee is a twisting injury. You've got lots of structures in there, as you mentioned earlier. You have ligaments, which are like elastic bands. You obviously have the major muscles and tendons that go over the joint there to allow the knee to flex and extend and twist a little bit. But then you've got some cartilages or menisci there between the knee. They're these shock absorbers. They're a little bit like wine gums sitting on the plate of the top of the tibia or the shin bone there. And they can be damaged as well, particularly with twisting injuries. And they can start to fray and little bits can break off. And that can cause often the knee to lock or get fixed in either straight or bent position. But obviously when you actually put your weight through that, that can be very painful and can impinge and give sharp shooting pain around the knee.
Right. Which can be
quite disabling.
Yeah, people are shouting, enough already, enough. I know what a painful knee feels like. I've got one now. How can I stop it hurting? So some basic things that you can do to alleviate that knee pain. Is it the usual, you know, cold compress to start with?
Yes, certainly the traditional RICE treatment of rest, compression, elevation and ice on it is always a good start. From a chiropractic perspective, we don't just look at the knee, we look at the mechanisms of potential injury that could have caused it to start with. So we would also look at the ankle and the foot to see if there was some disability there that was, or misalignment there that was causing an irritating knee issue. And obviously the hip and the lower back as well. So And it's a bit chicken and egg, you know, is the knee problem causing a back problem or is the back problem causing a knee problem? We see a lot of people with both problems presenting to the practice, and if people have got back problems, they tend to bend their knees a lot more. If they've got knee problems, they bend their backs a lot more. So which came first, you know, which was the problem? But from our point of view, we would look at the knee, see if there were the joints either side of the knee were causing the issue, address those as well as directly treating the knee with a little bit of manipulation or mobilisation, look at the soft tissues which might be involved, and we might need to do some massage, and then ultimately look at re-stabilising and balancing the leg, the muscles in the leg, by giving some intense exercises and getting the patient up and running, literally up and running and up and stabilised again.
So generally when somebody comes to you with a knee problem, are you confident you can get them pretty much back to normal?
Very much so. We get a lot of people who come to see us who want to avoid the inevitable of having a knee replacement, which obviously when they get to that point, there's been some wear and tear in the knee. There's a degree of arthritis in there. But people obviously a little bit young, they don't want to have a knee replacement or it's not convenient. We try and sort of curb that a little bit and give them some relief on a temporary basis. Yeah. There's about 160,000 knee and hip replacements a year at the moment in the UK. And, you know, what would be nice would be to prevent that number or prevent to be one of those statistics. So by getting the body balance and stabilising the body from a chiropractic point of view, will minimise the risk of leading towards those knee and hip replacements long term.
So I suppose it's, as often the case, a question of getting the treatment early enough, not letting it build and build and build until it's a sort of permanent pain that is debilitating. At that point, it might be that surgery is the way forward. If people start to get the odd twinge, I occasionally notice it when I'm going upstairs. Occasionally, I think, oh, my knee doesn't really want to do this.
That would maybe be a sign of some weakness or some imbalance within the leg muscles, and obviously addressing that at an early stage would be ideal. Obviously, the hip replacement or the knee replacement is the ultimate end story for a knee problem like that. But there are more minor procedures such as the arthroscopy or the keyhole surgery, where they can go in and actually do some minor repairs and wash out the knee. But then following that, really some intense exercise. It is putting off the inevitable. But from a chiropractic point of view, we do get a lot of success with giving advice on how to address that.
Yeah, because it's such a complicated joint, there are so many different things that could be happening, so it's difficult to give a general advice, isn't it? If somebody's got pain in their knee, as perhaps I've just described to you, occasionally I'm going up some stairs and I think, oh, that's a bit painful, and I try to think no more of it, I walk it off type of thing. Is that sensible or is that quite dangerous, walking?
To a degree, yes. If it becomes a repetitive problem, then you need to address what you're doing on a weekly basis, perhaps with your exercise routine, whether it is one of your exercises that doing, or if you're not doing any exercise, perhaps start doing some gentle exercise, so some gentle walking, and keep your strides quite short so that you're not straining the knee when you're stepping out too far there. Make sure you've got good footwear. Stretching the hamstring muscles, the ones at the back of your legs, the quadricep muscles at the front, and of course the calf muscles. On a daily basis, perhaps a little bit of yoga, those sorts of things, keeping your flexibility, that will all add up to restabilising the knee and helping minimise the risk of these twinges that go on a
regular basis. As ever, try and catch it early, and there's always something that you can have done which should bring some relief, because some people sort of suffer in silence for far too long, I think, when it comes to joint problems. But we'll talk some more about other things to bear in mind with people going back to school with Alex the chiropractor after this. Nearly 20 past three. Wednesday on BBC Radio Nottingham. Alan here, and in the studio we've got Alex Newton, who is the Beeson chiropractor. And some thoughts on knees that you've shared. There's another thing that's going to be happening fairly soon. And that is the return to school for children. I know it seems as though the summer holiday has only just begun, but I expect there are parents and grandparents who are looking at that light in the distance at the end of the tunnel. But going to school, and maybe going to big school, this is a potentially dangerous time for youngsters, because there's suddenly, I remember at primary school, you hopped and skipped and jumped your way to school and home again without a care in the world. Go to secondary school, you've got to have a briefcase or a backpack or a satchel with homework and textbooks, all of a sudden gets very serious. And you could, I suppose, be doing damage as a youngster to yourself quite early on.
It is a significant worry for us as chiropractors to see children on a daily basis carrying extremely heavy bags. And one of the problems we see at the moment is that the fashion of how they wear their rucksacks is makes me want to cringe, really. They like to wear the straps very long, so the packs hang very low on the base of their spines. This is going to cause potential problems in their, not only just their upper back, but their lower back over the years. And what we'll see is the more and more books get carted backwards and forwards to school. There's limitations of lockers and safe availability, so children are carrying things around school all day, every day. They tend to wear the rucksack on one shoulder as well. That's going to give postural changes too. And then, you know, the old-fashioned, we used to, a lot of children used to walk to school. There's a lot of children that perhaps go by bus or car now, so the children aren't getting that exercise. But it's a catch-22 if they're getting the exercise, but they're not wearing their backpacks, then there's going to be problems with their posture. But obviously, if they don't have to have the exercise to get to school, then again, we need to make sure when they are carrying their bags around that they are carrying them properly and in a way that they're sitting correctly on their bags.
Some interesting points there. I mean, one of the basic things is, well, what is in that bag? Why is it so heavy? And do you need all those things in there?
As time goes on now, I think we're seeing a lot more people have things like iPads and memory sticks being carted backwards and forwards to school. So that issue is being addressed a lot by the schools. The old-fashioned textbooks are becoming more and more redundant, I think, and more access to information over the internet through the iPads and things. But even so, then you've got the sports kit and perhaps the violin or the flute or whatever carried as well, and the lunchbox. And they all, those things all soon add up. So if we can keep the amount of equipment taken backwards and forwards to school every day to a minimum, an ideal, I think according to the Back Pain Association, they say something like 10% of your body weight is the maximum amount you should be carrying on a regular basis on your back in your backpack. So that might be worth a figure, just getting the kids perhaps do a little maths experiment over the holidays, get themselves to weigh themselves in kilos and divide that by 10% and find out how much their bag should weigh and see if they can aim to be around that 10, maximum 15% of bag weight there on a daily basis.
And you can do that thing that, where you weigh yourself without the bag and then you weigh yourself with the bag and subtract one from the other.
Going on holiday, yeah.
Well, yeah, you could use a bag weighing machine, you're right. I'm just thinking you can teach them a bit of maths, though, as well, when you're doing it. The problem, I suppose, with children is they feel indestructible, they're invincible. Why would you be worrying about my back, Mum or Dad? I'm fine with my rucksack and my bag slung over my shoulder. I don't have any pain. Why are you worried about me? How you broach that, how you convince somebody to start taking care of themselves now rather than later in life. I suppose that you just say, look at me, children, look at me, how decrepit I am. This is because I didn't listen to my parents.
Yes, on the few patients that we do see a number of lovely children at the clinic whose parents have been able to bring them to the clinic and invest in their health in that respect. And we often sort of remind them that, you know, they are very privileged in that way, that their parents have recognised that there are perhaps potential problems that will catch up with them in later life. And if we can address these very early, encourage children to have good posture and good carrying techniques and good sporting techniques as well, just going back to sort of the various injuries that can occur, making sure that and encouraging parents to reinforce that. But when sometimes when it comes from somebody else, the children tend to listen a little bit better than it does when the mum's always, dad's always nagging them about how to sit up straight and how to carry their bags and things like that.
Don't lean back on your chair. Used to get all of that.
They do that because they're uncomfortable. It's actually quite a logical thing. Children are very clever subconsciously.
Yeah.
It's the worry that we have is the technology these days, that where they sit there with their head right forward and looking down on their phones and their iPads and their laptops with very poor posture. So try and encourage them to keep their heads up and keep their arms up. Their arms will get tired and that's a sign that they need to stop and go and do something else.
Right, get outside and kick a ball about. Just on that, of course, playing sport can be a dangerous process. And whether you're young or old, sometimes go and have a bit of a kick about getting back into football or rugby or even golf. Things like that, it's probably sensible to take it easy to start with if you're getting back into sporting activities?
Yes, a lot of classes and things like that have actually stopped over the summer, so people are starting to go back into their yoga and their Pilates classes. Don't forget that if you've had 4 or 6 weeks off, the body's muscles will have changed, the dynamics will have changed, the tone of the muscle will have changed if you haven't done an awful lot over the summer. So do start off nice and carefully, nice and gently, particularly going back to the gym. Don't try and pick up where you left off because you will find that you will easily stress and strain those muscles and joints. So prevention is better than cure. Keep it nice and light to start with. Gradually build it back into it.
Always good advice from Alex Newton. Thank you very much for popping in to see us today. Beeston chiropractor Alex Newton. And hopefully there's some bits and pieces there which will help to keep you and maybe your nearest and dearest or your youngsters keeping mobile and pain-free for as long as possible.